Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by California College of the Arts, offering extension courses focused on design, fine arts, and digital technology. Campuses in Rock Ridge, Oakland, and Potrero Hill in San Francisco. cca.edu/extension.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Just before the midnight deadline, Governor Jerry Brown's office produced a court-ordered plan to reduce the state's prison population by more than 9,000 people by the end of this year. Here it is in broad brushstrokes. If lawmakers agree, relocate thousands of inmates to private lockups or state fire camps, early release for elderly and frail inmates, and early release for hundreds of prisoners who've earned credit for good conduct. In the court papers, Brown complained the steps he's outlined would, quote, jeopardize public safety. State senators voted yesterday to allow prosecutors to charge people with small amounts of heroin, cocaine, and other hard drugs with a misdemeanor rather than a felony. The bill's author, Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco, estimates the measure could save the state and counties up to $163 million. But law enforcement groups oppose the measure, calling it a threat to public safety. State lawmakers are being lobbied to take a harder line on prescription drug abuse and the doctors who enable it. A number of bills attempt to address the problem, but not the $250,000 cap on jury awards to victims of medical malpractice for pain and suffering. That was etched in stone as part of a landmark act in 1975. Reform advocates are mobilizing to attack that on next year's ballot. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow reports.
Consumer Watchdog, a group with a lot of experience battling over insurance laws, is now leading an effort to repeal that limit. Bob Pack, who has pushed for several new laws ever since his two children were killed by a drugged driver, says the damages cap isn't fair to victims. One problem, he says, is that it was never adjusted for inflation.
It should be minimal, a $1 million award, and for gross negligence or catastrophic injury, it should have higher caps.
PAC is part of an effort to get rid of the cap through a new ballot initiative. The group is still working on the specific language and hasn't submitted it to the Secretary of State's office yet. But PAC says they've already raised more than $1 million for a campaign. The effort has the attention of the medical community. Some doctors warn eliminating damage caps would lead to increased health care costs. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
There's a turf war going on over who's going to deliver the health care as federal reform unfolds. Doctors, there aren't enough of them to meet the expanding need, especially in the Central Valley and the Inland Empire. Senator Ed Hernandez of West Covina, an optometrist himself, is pushing three bills that would expand the medical mandate of optometrists, pharmacists, and nurse practitioners. Physician groups are dead set against the measures, but time is growing short. Open enrollment in the new health insurance marketplace launches in October. As Jose Martinez of KPCC reports, California can find a preview of what's likely to come at community clinics in South Los Angeles.
Hi. Okay, I'm sorry to wake you up so early this morning again.
Simi Gandhi is a family nurse practitioner at South LA's Uma Community Clinic.
I thought that you would want to know what your results are.
Her call woke up that woman, but she won't mind. In Urdu, she tells the patient her mammogram says the mass in her breast isn't cancer. After Gandhi hangs up, she doesn't miss a beat. She starts debriefing for her next patient, who's been MIA.
Looks like he has diabetes, and I had asked for him to be able to get an appointment 6 weeks thereafter, so that was back in September. That was canceled, and then he didn't come for two appointments that were rescheduled. And now he's finally back.
Simi Gandhi is a mid-level provider, which includes registered nurses, physician assistants, and nurse practitioners like her. But at the Uma Clinic, she might as well have MD after her name.
A community like this has less resources. A lot of the folks that live here have less education. The basic education people get around their bodies and around literacy is low.
That means a lot of patients with diabetes and hypertension who don't know how to deal with them. But doctors often come at a premium in community clinics where salaries are lower, so mid-level providers often shoulder the workload.
So I just want to remind you that when you have diabetes, Sometimes this can mean that you get problems with your heart, right? You remember that? With your eyes and with your kidneys.
Gandhi is in an exam room with Hamdi Badar, a 52-year-old taxi driver from Indonesia. He's learning to manage his out-of-control diabetes, which he's lived with for a decade and a half.
So I just had 15 years, and I didn't realize it was so bad like that, you know, because it affected my kidneys, she said, my eyes and my everything.
Uma sees about 2,000 patients a year. Simi Gandhi sees 4 an hour. Without her and her fellow mid-level providers, Uma couldn't care for as many people as it does.
Today, the blood sugar was really good. I'm really happy with that, Rafael.
5 minutes away at St. John's Well Child and Family Center, family nurse practitioner Alexis Gomez is checking up on 74-year-old Rafael Baez. High blood pressure, diabetes, a history of heart failure. So Gomez peppers him with questions about his diet.
¿Comiste mucha tortilla o no?
No, tortilla no comemos.
¿Ya no comen tortilla ya?
No.
Ok, ¿estás comiendo más fruta y más vegetales?
Sí.
Gomez, who was a doctor in Cuba, asks if Baez eats too many tortillas and not enough fruits and vegetables. Gomez puts it in simple terms. If St. John's mid-level providers played hooky one day...
I seen that gonna be kind of a disaster.
Dr. Padra Noorpavar is the lone doctor at that same clinic site for St. John's. He agrees with Gomez and says there's a major need for more medical staff.
Especially in this clinic, I mean, we could always use more primary care providers. Yeah, there's always shortage.
But Dr. Noorpavar says that doesn't mean mid-levels can replace doctors. He says that'll be true even as the patient load swells next year with people who will gain health insurance under the Affordable Care Act's Medi-Cal expansion.
You can't completely substitute, you know, physicians, because then the quality of the care can go down, and, you know, you need a little bit of higher people with more experience and, you know, higher education to also be involved. To make sure that the quality is not compromised, you know, at the cost of numbers.
But that's not the consensus. Dr. Felix Aguilar is the president and CEO of UMA, where Simi Gandhi works.
The future is not with physicians. The future primary care will be with what we call mid-level providers.
Like Simi Gandhi and Alexis Gomez, who shape the future of primary care with every patient they check off their schedule. For the California Report, I'm Jose Martinez in Los Angeles.
And that's the California Report for Friday, May 3rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our staff includes Danny Bringer, Howard Gelman, Seal Muller, Vinnie Tong, Paul Lancour, Gina Shalaba, Guy Maserati, Victoria Malione, Dan Brecky, Erica Kelly, Kat Snow, Nina Thorson, Susie Racho, Ingrid Becker, and Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com.